Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Memor by Avram Goldhar and today Maseches Yevamos Daf Pei Dal, the beginning of the ninth parak Yesh Mutaros. So the three daves we're going to focus on. Number one, the opening mission of the ninth parak presents four categories of women: some who are permitted to their husbands and prohibited to their yavams, some who are prohibited to their husbands and permitted to their yavams, some who are permitted to both, and some who are forbidden to both. The first example of mutars lebalehen, vasuras yemen, those permitted to their husbands and then forbidden to the yavams, is a kohen hediot shenaseh as almana v'yeshu ach kohen gadol, a kohen hediot who married an almana and he has a brother who is a kohen gadol. The Gemara asks why the Mishnah said he was married to a widow when it could have said he did kedushin with her and she would still be forbidden to the yavam who is a kohen gadol. After the first couple of answers are rejected, the Gemara explains it's because of the next case in the Mishnah, which stated, Chalal Shanasa Kashera, a Chalal who married an eligible woman, where she is permitted to her husband and forbidden to her Yavam, who is a Kohen. The reason she's forbidden to her Yavam is, Danasa Shavya Chalala, is that her husband married her, making her a Chalal, but if he was just Mekanisher, she would not become a Chalala. Therefore, the first case is presented as one of marriage. Point number two, the Gemara continues to challenge the first example in the Mishnah and asks, why the first case is that of an Almana? Lisnei Basua, let it state she was a Basua who had never been married, since she will become an Almana when the Kohen Hediot dies. The Gemara concludes that it's because of the third part of the Mishnah, which deals with cases where the woman is forbidden to her husband and to her Yovam. There presented the case of Kohen Gadol Shenaseh Almana, v'yeshu ach Kohen Gadol or Kohen Hediot, a Kohen Gadol who married an Almana, and he has a brother who is a Kohen Gadol or a Kohen Hediot. In this case, she's forbidden to the Yavam, who is a Kohen Hediot, because she was an Almana when she married the Kohen Gadol, rendering her a Chalala. If she had been a Basua at the time she married the Kohen Gadol, she would not have become a Chalala and would have been permitted to the Yavam, who was a Kohen Hediot. This is why the Mishnah presented the case of an Almana. And point number three, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rabu, Ohuzur Kasheros Lihnasi Lapsuan, eligible women, referring to the daughters of Kohanim, are not prohibited to be married to Psuim, such as Chalalim. Ravim Bar Yitzhak challenged Rav's ruling from a brisa that taught, in the pasuk listing the woman in which a kohen may not take, the words lo yikhu, they shall not take, are repeated twice. Malamed she'aisha museres al yedei ha'ish. The repetition teaches that the woman is prohibited because of the man, meaning that just as the Torah forbids a kohen from marrying a chalala, so too it forbids a kohenis from marrying the male version of a chalala, which is a chalal. Rava answered that what the Brisa means is, Koheka to humuzer himuzheres. Wherever a man is forbidden to marry a woman, she's also forbidden to marry him. But Koheka to humuzer himuzdahara. And wherever he's not forbidden to marry a woman, she's not forbidden to him. Therefore, Ravin Bar Yitzhak's challenge is not successful. So once again, the three points are, number one, the opening mission, the ninth parak, presents four categories of women, some who are permitted to their husbands and prohibited to their yavams, some who are prohibited to their husbands and permitted to their yavams, some who are permitted to both, and some who are forbidden to both. The first example of mutars lebalehen, vasuras yemen, those permitted to their husbands and then forbidden to their yavams, is a kohen hediot shenaseh as almana v'yeshu ach kohen gadol, a kohen hediot who married an almana and he has a brother who is a kohen gadol. The Gemara asks why the Mishnah said he was married to a widow when it could have said he did kedushin with her and she would still be forbidden to the yavam who is a kohen gadol. After the first couple of answers are rejected, the Gemara explains it's because of the next case in the Mishnah, which stated chalal shenaseh kashera, a chalal who married an eligible woman where she is permitted to her husband and forbidden to her yavam who is a kohen. The reason she's forbidden to her yavam is danasa shavya chalala, is that her husband married her, making her a chalal, but if he was just mekanisher, she would not become a chalala. Therefore, the first case is presented as one of marriage. Point number two, the Gemara continues to challenge the first example in the Mishnah and asks why the first case is that of an almana. Lisnei Basua, let it state she was a Basua who had never been married, since she will become an almana when the Kohen Hediot dies. The Gemara concludes that it's because of the third part of the Mishnah, which deals with cases where the woman is forbidden to her husband and to her yavam. There presented the case of Kohen Gadol Shenaseh Almana, v'yeshu ach Kohen Gadol or Kohen Hediot, a Kohen Gadol who married an Almana, and he has a brother who is a Kohen Gadol or a Kohen Hediot. In this case, she's forbidden to the Yavam who is a Kohen Hediot because she was an Almana when she married the Kohen Gadol, rendering her a Chalala. If she had been a Basua at the time she married the Kohen Gadol, she would not have become a Chalala and would have been permitted to the Yavam who was a Kohen Hediot. This is why the Mishnah presented the case of an Almana. And point number three, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rabu, Ohuzur Kasheros Lihnasi Lapsuan, eligible women, referring to the daughters of Kohanim, are not prohibited to be married to Psuim, such as Chalalim. Ravim Bar Yitzhak challenged Rav's ruling from a brisa that taught, In the pasuk listing the woman in which a kohen may not take, the words lo yikhu, they shall not take, are repeated twice. Malamed sha'isha museres al yedei ha'ish. The repetition teaches that the woman is prohibited because of the man, meaning that just as the Torah forbids a kohen from marrying a chalala, so too it forbids a kohenes from marrying the male version of a chalala, which is a chalal. Rava answered that what the Braisa means is koheka tuhu muzer hi muzeres. Wherever a man is forbidden to marry a woman, she's also forbidden to marry him. But koheka tuhu muzer hi muzeres tohara. And wherever he's not forbidden to marry a woman, she's not forbidden to him. Therefore, Rav and Bar Yitzchak's challenge is not successful. All right, so now we go to Simmer Daf Pei Dalet, and this one was suggested to us by Aaron Warso from Queens. He suggested Pei Dalet is a launch pad, a spaceship on a launch pad. So launch pad is our simmon. So here goes. The Kohen Hediot astronaut getting married to an almana on his launch pad, while his brother, the Kohen Gadol, stood by, was interrupted by a basula who climbed up and asked why he didn't marry her. And he told her that as a Kohen, she could marry the Chala working in the control tower. Once again, in slow motion. The Kohen Hediot astronaut getting married to the almana on his launch pad, that must mean we're on Daf Pei Dalet. The Kohen Hediot astronaut getting married to an almana on his launch pad, while his brother the Kohen Gadol stood by, which reminds us, the opening mission of the ninth parak presents four categories of women, the first category being those who are permitted to their husbands and prohibited to their yavams. The first case is Kohen Hediot shenasas almana v'yeshu l'ach Kohen Gadol, a Kohen Hediot who married an almana and he has a brother who's a Kohen Gadol. The Gemara addresses why the Mishnah said he was married to a widow, when it could have said that he did kedushin with her, and she would still be forbidden to the yavam, who is a kohen gadol. So the Kohen Hediot astronaut getting married to an almana on his launch pad, while his brother the Kohen Gadol stood by, was interrupted by a basula who climbed up and asked why he didn't marry her, which reminds us. The Gemara continues to challenge the first example of the Mishnah and asks why the first case is that of an almana, least named basula. Let it state she was a basula who had never been married, since she will become an almana when the Kohen Hediot dies. So the Kohen Hediot astronaut getting married to an almana on his launch pad, while his brother the Kohen Gadol stood by, was interrupted by a basula who climbed up and asked why he didn't marry her. And he told her that as a Kohen, she could marry the Chala working in the control tower. Which reminds us, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Lohuzru Kasheris Lihinas L'Psuan, eligible women, referring to the daughters of Kohanim, are not prohibited to be married to Psuim such as Chalalim. Rav and Bar Yitzchak's challenge to Rav's ruling is rebuffed. So once again, the Kohen Hediot astronaut getting married to an almana on his launch pad, while his brother the Kohen Gadol stood by, was interrupted by a basula who climbed up and asked why he didn't marry her. And he told her that as a Kohenis, she can marry the Chalal working in the control tower. All right, now it's time for four Blabach Chazara. Daf Pei. So the Simmer Daf Pei is a painter. So here goes. The painter. That must be on Daf Pei. The painter commissioned to produce artwork to celebrate the occasion of the child born in the eighth month reaching his 20th birthday, which reminds us, according to Rabbi Avo, a child born in the eighth month of pregnancy, even if he's fully developed with hair and nails, we do not say that he's a bar kayama, a viable child, until he reaches the age of 20. The more questions whether a ben shmona can live, for it was taught in a brisa, ben shmona haruka evan, a child of the eighth month is treated like a stone and is forbidden to move him on Shabbos. The more answers Rabbi Avo was referring to a case where the child was a full-term seven-month fetus who developed simanim and lingered in the womb for an additional month. Even if he was born with the simanim of a viable child, such as with fully developed hair and nails, the child is not established as a bar kayama until the age of 20. So the painter commissioned to produce artwork to celebrate the occasion of the child born in the eighth month, reaching his 20th birthday, uses Sri's Chama and Islandi's anatomy book as a guide, which reminds us. The Gemara brings a price that listed the very simanim for a Sri's Chama and an Islandi's. So the painter commissioned to produce artwork to celebrate the occasion of the child born in the eighth month, reaching his 20th birthday, used his Sri's Chama and Islandi's anatomy book as a guide to paint a picture of a saris with all the simanim. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a machlokas amoraim regarding the simanim of a saris. Rav Huna says a person is not considered a saris ad shiyukuam until he has all of the simanim, but Rabbi Yochanan says, afio et be'echmehen, he's a saris even if he has just one of them. Daf payoff. So the simon daf payoff is a grandpa. So here goes. Grandpa, that must be on Daf payoff. Grandpa Cohen, who watches androgynous grandson give his bas Yisrael wife Truma, which reminds us that the next mission says, Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon say, androgynous Cohen, shenasa bas Yisrael machil ba Truma, an androgynous Cohen who's married to a Bas Yisrael entitles her to eat truma. The Gemara brings a Malka because of a rhyme. Rish Lakish said, Machil b'truma ve'ein machil b'chaz b'shok. He entitles her to eat truma, but not the breast and thigh of kachin kalim. But Rabbi Yochanan says, Af machil b'chaz b'shok. He even entitles her to eat the chaz b'shok. Rish Lakish holds that androgynous is a safek ish, and therefore is only permitted to truma, which is nowadays at the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yochanan holds that an androgynous is a zachar v'adai, and therefore is even permitted to the deraisa, chaz b'shok. So, Grandpa Cohen, who watches androgynous grandson give his Bas Yisrael wife truma, sat in his rocking chair munching figs from the mixture of round cakes of pressed truma and chulun figs, which reminds us, Reish Lakish learns from the case of a round cake of pressed figs of truma that got mixed with other round cakes of figs, it becomes batel. Rashi explains that if truma nowadays were a deraisa, it would not become batel, for items that are commonly counted when they are sold are considered a davar choshuv, something of significance, which the laws of bittel do not apply to. Rav Yochanan responded that he went in a braisa that a piece of tamei chatas meat that became mixed with slices of tarah chatas meat does become batel, which demonstrates that deraisa prohibited foods that are commonly counted when sold are subject to bittel. Rather, it's only items that are exclusively counted that are deemed the davar chashuv and are not subject to bittel. So, Grandpa Cohen, who watches androgynous grandson give his Bas Yisrael wife truma, sat in his rocking chair munching figs from the mixture of round cakes of pressed truma and chulun figs, and laughed about the time he mixed a piece of chatas tamei meat with 100 pieces of tahor chatas meat. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan's case was where a piece of chatas tamei meat got mixed with 100 pieces of tahor chatas meat, and it became batel. We see from here that the tamei slice of meat, even though it's commonly counted when it's sold, becomes batel. This contradicts Reish Lakish's opinion that any item which is commonly counted is a davar chashuv and is not batel. Rabbi Chiya Breda Rav Huna defended Reish Lakish's ruling by explaining the case as binimucha, where the piece of tamei chatas meat dissolved. Therefore, it's no longer commonly counted and is subject to bittel.
Daf pei beis. So the simon daf pei beis is peanut butter. So here goes.
The boy who got peanut butter. Peanut butter? That must be on daf pei beis. The boy who got peanut butter all over two boxes of chulin and truma grain that fell into two similar boxes, which reminds us, the Gemara questions whether Ryokan really holds truma nowadays is a deraisa. Based on a braisa that taught that if two boxes of grain, chulin and truma, fell into two other boxes, one of chulin and one of truma, we can assume that the chulin fell into the chulin and the truma fell into the truma. And Ryokan says this law applies even if the chulin grain in the chulin box was not more than the truma in the soft container. Now, if Rabbi Yochanan holds that truma nowadays is a deraisa, how can he not require rov to be mevatel? Rabbi Yochanan answers that the braisa is the rabban who hold that truma nowadays is only the rabban, and his earlier statement was in accordance with Rabbi Yossi, who says that nowadays truma is a deraisa. So the boy who got peanut butter all over two boxes of chulin and truma grain that fell into two similar boxes decided to use his empty peanut butter jar to add a saw of liquid to a mikveh and then remove a saw, which reminds us. The Gemara asks if Rabbi Yochanan really holds that rov is not required to be mevatel of the rabban iser, for it was taught in the Mishnah if a mikveh contains exactly 40 saw of water, one put in a saw of other liquids and then removed a saw of the mixture, the mikveh is still valid, and it was said in the Rabbi Yochanan, this procedure of adding a saw of water and removing a saw may be repeated ad rubo, up until the majority of the mikveh. Doesn't this mean that the majority of the mikveh water remained? And since Maim Sheuvim, drawn water is only at the Rabbanim Psul for a mikveh, this implies the Rabbi Yochanan requires rov to be mevato ad the Rabbanim Isser. The Gemara answers that what is meant is that we should not remove a majority of the mikveh water, but an equal amount of mikveh water is enough to be mevato the Rabbanim Psul. Alternatively, we could say Rabbi Yochanan does require a rov, but in the case of the boxes of grain and chulin, we may rely on the leaning assumption that the chulin fell into the chulin and the truma fell into the truma. So the boy who got peanut butter all over two boxes of chulin and truma grain that fell into two similar boxes decided to use his empty peanut butter jar to add a saw of liquid to a mikveh and then remove a saw until he dropped and broken in fright when he saw an androgynous marry a woman. Which reminds us, on Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish argued whether Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon hold that androgynous is a definite male or a suffix male. The Gemara challenges Reish Lakish's opinion that he's a suffix male, for the Mishnah stated, androgynous nose, an androgynous marries a woman, which implies chachila, and the Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon hold he's a definite male. The Gemara continues to challenge Rabbi Yochanan's position as well. Daf Pei Gimel, so the Simmer Daf Pei Gimel is a pogo stick. So here goes. The farmer who uses pogo stick, that must be more on Daf Pei Gimel. The farmer who uses pogo stick to jump up and graft a branch on a tree 44 days before Shavuos, which reminds us, Gemara lists Mishnayos where Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon issued rulings together and the halacha goes according to them. One of them being in terms of archova, grafting. The one does not graft a branch on a tree 2 weeks before Shavuos, which is understood to mean 44 days before Shavuos, since the 30 days before Shavuos are already usher to the halacha because of Tosfos Shavuos.
So the farmer who uses pogo stick to jump up and graft a branch on a tree 44 days before Shavuos spotted a farmer spreading his vine over his tumtum neighbor's grain. Which reminds us, Shmuel said the halakhas of Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon regarding kiddush, rendering produce unfit regarding klein. For it was taught in Mishnah and Klein, Rabbi Meir says one who spreads his vine over the standing grain of his friend has rendered the grain unfit as klai kerim and as chai for its loss. Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon say, ein adam osu davar she'en shalo. A person cannot render something prohibited unless it belongs to him. And Tosos explains that this principle only applies with prohibitions that require intent, such as klein. But in cases that do not require intent, such as one putting chalav or nevela in his friend's pot of meat, the food certainly becomes forbidden. So the farmer uses pogo stick to jump up and graft a branch on a tree 44 days before Shavuos spotted a farmer spreading his vine over his tumtum neighbor's grain, who was distracted while being informed he should not perform chalitza. Which reminds us that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a tumtum whose genital covering was torn open and found to be a male should not perform chalitza because he's a seris vadai, a definite seris. Whereas his son Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda said that a tumtum is only a suffix seris. The nafkamina between them is to disqualify the yavama for yibum when there are other brothers and to perform chalitza when there are no other brothers. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that he's a seris vadai, his act of chalitza has no validity and she still may be taken in yibum by the other brothers. Whereas according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, it may have a validity if he's not a seris chama. If there are no other brothers, Rabbi Yehuda says she does not require chalitza from him. Whereas according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, she does, since he might not be a seris chama. All right, so that concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Golden Zichu wishing a great day and great learning.